We're joined by Lou Dealey, a climate advisor in New York State and former research director of DEMOS. And on behalf of New York Renews, he recently wrote a report, Fall Solutions, Gas and Trash, How the Fossil Fuel Industry is Holding Back a Just Transition. Now, Lou, we've had people on a number of times from New York Renews. There's a broad-based climate coalition, a lot of EJ community groups, but you know, why did you decide, or why did New York Renews decide to put out this report?
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here. Basically, because in the wake of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which really was the platform of New York Renews in many ways, and that was passed in 2019, what we've begun to see is activation, essentially, of fossil fuel interests looking for ways to retain their hold on New York State's energy system, even as the state has now codified a pathway to zero carbon electricity by 2040 and net zero total emissions economy-wide by 2050. And we call this this new force within New York State the sort of the bioenergy industrial complex, and it's interrelated with the fossil fuel energy, you know, energy industries in many ways. And so what we've been concerned about is that the incumbent fossil fuel system is looking for ways to retain its grip on New York's energy system through a set of false solutions that are broadly defined as bioenergy.
Now, the CLCPA, the climate bill you talked about, a law, you know, did create this Climate Action Council, which has, I guess, until 2013 to develop a plan for climate action in New York State. I know some of the New York Renews, you know, members serve on both the council and some of its advisory committees. So what are some of your biggest concerns with bioenergy? You know, why aren't these good solutions for the climate?
I think for three fundamental reasons. The first that I would emphasize, and this really goes to kind of the corporate interests, the fossil interests. In many cases, such as biomethane, which is renewable, described as renewable natural gas derived from waste streams like landfill, livestock manure, also hydrogen. What you're seeing is a big push by the gas utilities to almost redefine these derivatives of carbon energy as renewable forms of gas in order to lock in the gas infrastructure and delivery system and to perpetuate natural gas's hold in New York by way of blending these cleaner forms of gas with the fossil gas. And so they're very transparent about it. National Grid has said it is a primary, a major priority of theirs to introduce these fuel blends with biomethane and hydrogen as a way of greening the existing gas system. And for us, that means what that tells us, it's a way of locking in their infrastructure and retaining their hold, or the hold of natural gas in our energy grid, which, as you know, is a very large fraction of our energy.
Now, one of the things I know, for instance, I've had some discussions with Food and Water Watch about has been anaerobic digesters, which, among other things, can be used to recover methane emissions from landfill. But they then point out, yeah, but the industry is really looking to develop factory farms and huge production of manure, and this is a way to subsidize it. Do you particularly address the issue of anaerobic digesters, and is there a short-term role for them?
Yes, I think we do. We support them in a limited role, capturing the methane that would otherwise go into the atmosphere for local uses on site seems fine to us. In fact, on a net basis, positive. The problem is, of course, as you mentioned, the scale of it and whether or not you're taking that methane and putting it into the gas delivery system, where it will leak like other forms of methane into the atmosphere. Of course, a very powerful greenhouse gas, more so than carbon dioxide, but also will be combusted at the for end uses and emit nitrogen dioxide and other co-pollutants into our communities.
Now, biomass is one of the ones you also label as a full solution. I believe over in Vermont, which has, you know, reputation of being fairly green, they actually get, I believe, more than 20% of their electricity from burning wood and, wood scale utilities. What are some of the particular problems with biomass?
In some ways, all bioenergy is produced from biomass. But yes, specifically, we're talking about biomass energy where you are directly combusting organic material, and that primarily means wood. Well, I mean, the pollution from, certainly in more densely populated areas from burning wood is more dangerous than burning fossil fuels. And the big concern, one thing your listeners should know is, for example, in Europe, the largest source of what is classified as renewable energy now is wood pellets. Wood pellets has been the main replacement fuel for coal in Europe, and that is driving deforestation in the south, the creation of a whole industry around wood energy that is highly carbon intensive and is justified as carbon neutral because of the theory that the carbon locked into the trees automatically neutralizes the intense carbon emissions that you release when you burn the wood. And that's just not true, because when you burn the wood, that's essentially a carbon bomb going into the atmosphere immediately. And then it takes 30 years or more to regrow to the full growth of the forest to neutralize those emissions. And of course, on a timeline like that, 30 years to get to carbon neutral from burning wood, it's too late.
One of the other things you put in here is green hydrogen. Some people view hydrogen as a cleaner fuel. What are the problems with green hydrogen?
Great question and very important question. There's a huge industry push now, roadmap to a hydrogen economy. You may have seen the McKinsey report that came out last October, fossil fuel interests behind it. There are two problems. One is that currently hydrogen production, 95% of which is produced using fossil heat to derive hydrogen gas from methane. So it's carbon intensive, and on a net basis, even though it's used in industrial processes as a replacement for fossil heat, especially in fertilizer, cement, and steel, the carbon intensity of how you actually produce the hydrogen, because you have to apply fossil heat on a net basis, it's pretty much a wash, or it's more carbon intensive. So deriving hydrogen from fossil fuels is obviously not a solution to the climate crisis. Now, what's called green hydrogen is where you use renewable electricity for electrolysis of water to break off the hydrogen molecules and gasify the water to create hydrogen gas. The problem with this, I would propose, and there's no clear consensus on this, but is that you have to create hydrogen, green hydrogen on any scale, you have to draw away renewable electricity from the grid and from the transportation sector for electrification of cars, from the building sector for electrification of buildings and heat, in ways that I think will destabilize the grid and slow down the renewable energy transition we need in those other sectors. So you're drawing away renewable electricity where we need in other sectors much more urgently.
Let me just jump in here to say we've been talking with Lou Dealy, author of Fall Solution, Gas and Trash. You can check out the publication at NewYorkRenews.org. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Just a couple of quick follow-up questions. So how is the Climate Action Council set up with the governor and some appointments by the state legislative leaders to develop a climate plan for the state? How are they dealing with some of these false solutions?
Well, that's a great question. And I've observed Climate Action Council proceedings. Each sector has its own advisory panel to help inform what the Climate Action Council finally comes up with in terms of a draft scoping plan by the end of the year. And what we're seeing is that slowly but surely, some of these ideas are trickling into the conversation from industry through experts that the state is bringing forward, experts that are placed on the panels, particularly transportation and others. I don't have a very clear, sort of expose of what's going on with the false solutions at that level. But what we're hearing from our members on these panels is that these ideas are starting to creep into the conversation. And so that's the worry.
And before we get on the air, I asked you what, particularly about the issue of carbon capture, which has really become big, both with the Democrats and Republicans. I believe $6 billion was put into the energy package that they Congress did right before the beginning of the new session. But I understand that's going to be volume two of your report or a separate study?
Well, we've gotten a lot of questions like, why don't you look at carbon capture? Also, why don't you look at carbon trading mechanisms, for example, if the state were to decide to enter into the Transportation and Climate Initiative, which would be a massive expansion of cap and trade beyond the power sector in the Northeast. And so we're thinking about, well, these other mechanisms are also, emerging within the CAC process. And so maybe we should try to tackle those in a second report.
And I'll guess for a final question, and you feel free to add on anything I have not asked you about that needs to be addressed, but this is kind of a wonky question, policy wonk question, but in the Capital District, some of us posted a report to various listservs. And so one topic that became a heated point of debate was the issue of pyrolysis biochar. Many of us immediately attacked pyrolysis as just another form of incineration. There does seem to be more support for biochar. Do you have any reaction to the concept of pyrolysis biochar?
Pyrolysis. I do. I work closely with environmental justice leaders in the coalition and have for many years. So I take seriously their concerns. I think that they do see it as an extension of waste incineration. Others argue that biochar has beneficial uses and doesn't create the combustion problems of waste incineration that are that's otherwise being deployed in these facilities. So on that, I'm not enough of an expert to judge, and I follow the lead of our EJ colleagues, but I have seen some interesting analysis that suggests that biochar could have some beneficial uses, particularly in agriculture.
Okay. Well, we want to thank Lou Dealy, author of Fall Solutions, Gas and Trash, How the Fossil Fuel Industry is Holding Back a Just Transition, report on www.newyorkrenews.org. Lou, if people want to follow you in general, you have your own website or page they can follow you at?
Not at the time. To be determined.
Okay. Well, this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.